Good evening, folks. Hope everyone is well. Happy Wednesday. Over house show here. Give me 1 second, because of course, as soon as I hit go live, I immediately got hit with something that I should respond to. But I'm responding very quickly here, and I will be catching up on the chat momentarily, folks. Again, hope everyone is well. Dynamite Day. Happy Dustin Rhodes versus Samoa Joe Day, as we're knowing it around here. We're calling it around here, I should say. A big one for JHP, right? It's got to be like a JHP dream match, I think. So hopefully it's good. Otherwise, that won't really reflect well on the brand, which has taken enough of a beating this week for anyone who's seen on the social media. But we'll get into that as we go here. All right. Tweets out. All this stuff is done. Let's rock and roll. Okay. Chat, you think Julia becomes the first ever NXT Women's North American Champion? I could definitely see that. Yeah, it feels like her run's going to be pretty short in NXT. So, like, maybe it won't involve a title reign, but that would kind of make sense as a way to not only kind of start her run, but also to give the belt some juice, right? That would make some sense, I think. Okay. Her and Roxanne would be very good indeed. Hello, Willie. Works search you in wrestling post-mania. I was an AEW optimist after Revolution, and my excitement is gone 6 weeks later. I watch pay-per-views, but neither American company is appointment TV for me right now. I'm not a million miles away from your position here. I think I'm not ready to abandon the AEW TV because I do think there's a lot of good on it. It definitely doesn't feel, to use your phrase, appointment TV. I would struggle to declare it to be that, if I'm being honest with myself. But I still do enjoy watching it. On the WWE side of things, I definitely, whenever I watch the TV, I'm like reminded that it's not something I can watch consistently by any means. So yeah, I'm in a similar spot. It's the things I'm optimistic about. I'm intrigued by what the Wembley build looks like this year. I think it's going to be a slightly different vibe, a different show. I think we're going to get more singles matches, and I'm intrigued how they feel come August. I'm intrigued about Jacob Fatu's WWE run. I think he's obviously going to get a pretty big push out the gate because, frankly, the Bloodline needs that, right? And as someone who's been a fan for a long time, that intrigues me. I'm fascinated by how he translates. It feels like he's positioned to succeed on skill, but you never know, right? Anything could happen. Otherwise, I'm trying to think of like specifics rather than just like it'll be cool to watch Sami Zayn wrestle, you know, like that stuff kind of speaks for itself. Though I will say, actually, I kind of stumbled into one here. What the IC title looks like post Gunther intrigues me, because we saw what the tag belts looked like once they got past the Usos, Kevin and Sami feud, right? They very steadily kind of declined and then dropped dramatically at the end. The IC belt, in theory, Sami and Gable as a prolonged feud should be perfect, right? That should be the ideal direction. So I'm interested to see how that turns out also. But yeah, I'm kind of just hanging out watching for the minute, unfortunately. Nothing's really got me absolutely electrified. Dwayne pun intended. Falls on Hamada. Honestly, dude, I've only seen the American stuff for the most part. Probably a couple matches otherwise, but I've seen obviously the TNA stuff and her dates for Shimmer. I want to say that those overlap, those time frames, but Shimmer is, I couldn't give you a good idea of when things happen in Shimmer. Arrest me, folks. It is what it is. But I'm not as educated as I should be. Factual. We're ramping them up, no doubt. What else we got here? What's up, Joe? Just stopping by for a bit. Can't stay the whole time. Hope life's going well. It's going okay, man. It's going okay. I wasn't intending to be back in the ball game so soon. But I may not be able to do Dynamite tomorrow. Not AEW Dynamite, the wrestling show, the review show we do on Riz, which I might not be able to. So I thought I would do this in case I can't, so that I'm not just like entirely absent. God forbid you guys don't see me for 3 days, right? What would you do? My goodness. That was a joke. I feel I should know. Based on my recent social media interactions, I should know that. Hello, Brent. Connor. We've got in the chat here. Cody. I'm sorry, folks. My StreamYard as of late has been very unfortunate. If you see me freezing and stuff, I'm trying to figure out what it is. It's very, it's a real shame. My chat is not ideal right now. Hopefully it fixes itself. Okay. Evening, what's the best case scenario that comes out of all this all-in footage tonight? The best case scenario is that it's kind of flattering for Jack Perry, whatever that means. You know, like, I don't expect him to like kick ass or anything, but like he comes out of it looking kind of cool, or at least, again, I don't know, relatively speaking, like hopefully it's more flattering to Jack, and then they shoot an angle that hooks people that are watching for that. How many people are actually tuning in for it? I have no clue. Very hard to gauge such a ridiculous thing, but that's the ideal scenario, right? Shoot an angle and hope that Jack comes out of it better than he goes in. That's probably the best you can look for, I'd imagine. I could be wrong. It's one of those things, like that whole situation is, I find it hard to comment with any confidence because I haven't seen the footage, right? Like the footage might be hilarious. It might actually be worth putting on TV just for the meme of it. Or it could be really fucking uninteresting. I have no clue. So I guess we'll find out in a couple of hours here. Okay. Mentioned on Twitter, wrestlers' opinions on matches seem to be nothing like the fans. Listen to AJ and even Punk saying the match with Randy showed he could hang at a main event level. Yeah, that's always fascinating. And it's also like the trying to divorce those two things is important. Like Bret Hart's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, but Bret's read on what his best matches are would be entirely divorced from mine, you know? Like, Bulldog at SummerSlam, that's a good match, but I don't see it the way he sees it, even though I get why he sees it that way. And the Iron Man with Shawn, it's like, no, thank you, you know? But that's fine. It's just, we're looking for different things. He's in the fucking thing. he's looking at it an entirely different way. I think you always have to be careful kind of just parroting and accepting those things. Wrestlers you like are going to agree and disagree with your own read on their work. Punk thinks the Moxley match fucking sucks from Chicago. I think that match is like incredible, to be honest with you. So you get what you get, I suppose. How can we get a match review of Punk and Jack Perry? Absolutely not. Speaking of match reviews, though, yesterday on this very channel, we had the premiere of the Kurt Angle Mr. Anderson match review, which is a famous match from TNA Lockdown 2010. It's probably a match that, even if you haven't seen, you've probably seen the spot where Kurt does the moonsault off the top of the cage. And I was actually really proud of how it came out. I'm still getting used to the format. I'm still adjusting to writing those scripts. And recording the voiceover is a real process for me. It takes me a lot longer than I'd like it to. But I think this is the best one I've done in terms of my recording. And Tope is continuing to carry me on the edit front. So shout out Tope Suicida. But if you didn't see it, it's on the channel. I thought it came out pretty well, personally. Tell me what you think, guys. About to start the Trial of His Life TLF series. Wish me luck. No luck needed, bro. You have a blast. Laps fan is godly. Hello, Chris. Fleet Week, back tomorrow on Late Night Green. I believe 5 Eastern. I'm not locked that time in yet with the lads, but I believe 5 Eastern for Fleet Week. Good God. Good for you, man. Kicking ass in the gym, listening to a dipshit talk wrestling. Pretty cool. I don't think I help, but good for you. Top three, really enjoyed the Angle Anderson match for you. Thank you. Top three Kurt matches. I mean, probably, I'm sorry to immediately do the Ibu thing and jump to a Benoit match, but like Rumble 03 would probably be one of my top three, you know? I feel like I'd be being phony if I said I was. That's the one that I would actually say is like, I don't know. I do go back and forth on some of these matches, like that one and some of the Brock stuff. Sometimes I watch it and like it, but then other times it's less so. I think his matches with Ray are great. So I guess SummerSlam 02 would be the kind of, you know, the most obvious one of those. I would say the answers I would give confidently are Austin from SummerSlam 01, Ray from SummerSlam 02, and then give me we'll do the Ken match because it's fresh on my mind. I'm not confident in that list though. I'd have to rethink about it. You know, Kurt, as I've mentioned a million times, Kurt's someone that I appreciate and I enjoy. He's not like an all-time favorite of mine, so it isn't like this match is, you know, jumping off the page to me. But there's obviously a million choices that are escaping me right now, but that's a rough outline. I definitely think the Austin match is his best match, the more that I ponder it. Because I got torn on the Benoit Rumble deal because we recently, I think I was talking to the Late Night Green guys about this, or I may have imagined it. I don't fucking know. But it's one of those matches that, like, I have my experience of it changes very, very frequently. Those two had a very particular way of wrestling each other. And the intensity and the aggression was obviously very engaging, but it also could become kind of blunt at times. just a sort of physical shootout. So I kind of, your mileage may vary. Mine often does even. So there is that. All right. It has, dude. The JHP brand is in hell. I'm doing good, Callum. I'm doing good. How are you, mate? I hope you're well. Evening, plethora. Not wrestling related, but who you got, Kendrick or Drake? In this, I'm definitely a Kendrick fan. Not a big Drake guy. I saw there was like a thing about they've both got diss tracks ready, right? That should be fun. I mean, I'm definitely taking Kendrick though. This is, but you can't see it anymore. If I can move the camera, this is going to go very badly. There you go. See that? That is Kendrick. Think about me. I'm dying. Sing about me. Sorry, I'm dying first. Maybe I should read it more often. A friend of mine got that. That's an all-time favorite track of mine. Think about me. What a fucking idiot. All right. I was too busy trying not to break my camera. Do you have any predictions for tonight's discourse? It'll probably be unbearable as a prediction. Okay, let me throw this here on the. If I refresh this. Okay. All right. Now if I go back, it should work. Correct. Okay. Yes, indeed. Rocky and Roddy this Saturday, bro. I'm locked in, fired up. Evening, Chuck, who meant to say we're so bad and said we are so bad, which true. Who is funnier, more drawing for you to see, JBL at Mania 36 or Bubba at Mania 40? JBL at 36 because it was a global pandemic and he just emerged to announce a Bliss Cross match. One of the funniest things in the history of wrestling to me. There you go. There's another example of the wrestler fan disconnect thing. Gunther said his SummerSlam match with Drew is his favorite of the reign. That's wild. Okay. Apologies for my audacity. Bring up. Okay, we answered this one. I'm sure this Brainbuster asked this before I answered, but yeah. Hopefully Jack comes out looking well, I guess, and they shoot an angle. I don't know. How do you feel AEW does with Shanahan porting their world title? Is essentially referencing them propping the Bucks thing up over the eventual Swerve coronation. I think they could do a much better job of making the world champion the main character of the show. And I understand that the pushback to that would be, do you remember when they did that with Max? How that looked, and I get it, but I think there's other reasons why that was unfortunate. I think Joe should feel much more central to the show, personally. But I would think that. I'm a smart Joe fan. I think the best they ever got it was Moxley in the first reign, to be honest. I think Moxley really did feel like the guy. Like, even little things like Dragon and Ospreay feuding about who's the best wrestler, and it's like, neither of you, man. You ain't got the belt, you know? This shit is supposed to be real. But, yeah, it's something they struggle with, I think, in terms of, like, main character. I think it's a real issue for AEW. Cody is correct. You should like this video. You should subscribe, absolutely. And also, if you're watching on delay, comment below. That shit's important, too, as I keep mentioning in every video. Sorry, bro. It is what it is. Tottenham shirts will continue to play a part in the Holbert House show. Yeah, I'm the same, Shaitan. I always watch the big Raws, and it just never hooks. But that's fine. I mean, they have a lot of hours, and their pace is different in terms of TV. It's effective. They get things over. They build. It isn't something I need to watch in full, personally. Joe, would it be fair to say at this point AEW really needs a program for the crowds and audience to connect to in the vein of Hangman Omega and, hilariously, MJF Cole? I think it was more than fair to say. Yeah, I think they have a bunch of things that are in the 7 range and nothing in that, you know, 9-10 that's going to really start hooking people. And that can be challenging, right? That can be difficult. I think you have to hope that a Swerve Ospreay is there. I mean, I guess you've got Swerve Hangman still, but it's obviously we've seen that and it's a different form now. I think it's a very fair criticism. Yeah, I do. There's a lot of stuff that I think if you watch the show, you're into, but I don't know if there's anything that's like, you need to see this particular thing. I don't know if they've got that right now. What does your early Wembley card look like? Osprey Swerve. Mercedes Jamie, I will still say, even though I think that's the walls are closing on that one. Young Bucks versus Edge and Christian, or Cope and Christian, I should say. I think they're going to do Hook and Joe. I would prefer they do Joe and Mark Briscoe and or Joe and Zack Sabre Jr. Take your pick between those. Mark getting an entrance at Wembley, I think, would be very, very special. But take your pick on those. Please don't do the Hook one, even though I think they're going to do the Hook one. I'll try a thing. Otherwise, I would love to see, this is not a prediction, but I'd love to see Willow and Athena bring their dynamic to Wembley. And that'd be awesome. So there's a handful of matches that kind of just come to mind immediately. But Kenny and Okada, right, is one that if Kenny's healthy, that's a natural. Can we shout out 2010s RH producing solid TV workers? Like the 2000s era has the greats, and 2010s has a lot of bad. But Brody King, The Kingdom, Loki, Cody, Briscoe, some solid press. 2010s Ring of Honor had a lot of ups and downs creatively, but there was definitely a lot of good wrestlers that came through there. There was a lot of bad ones too, to be fair. But yeah, no, I think there's also like something to be said for giving guys TV prep and what a TV match is. You know, that was something that the 2010s guys had more experience with, right? Because that was when Ring of Honor had TV, allegedly. So yeah, it's an interesting one for sure. What's your favorite Samoa Joe match of 2005? Necro, I think. Necro is, that match is like one of one piece of history. Fucking insane match, man. I'm not breaking any news here, right? But like the Necro match is a truly unique experience. So is the Kobashi match. And I'd also say the AJ match from maybe November 05, October 05. Maybe in December, I forget. The one that's after Unbreakable, I want to say. I'm pretty sure. Turning Point, maybe, is great too. But yeah, I think Necro. Stories can be told through matches. AEW does not have a problem here, but they really need a program that makes the people wonder what is going to come next. What's the next big development? I agree completely. And I think sometimes the first part of your comment here, stories can be told through matches. AEW does not have a problem here. I think now we're getting to a point where online anyway, and that's a very small part of the audience, but online it's like we've now got this stupid war between like storytelling versus matches. And it's like those things are supposed to be married. They're not like, you're not supposed to like make a choice. Are we doing a match show or a story show? It's like, no, man, they're like, they're in the same realm. You can tell stories in a range of ways. You just have to tell them and make them interesting. It's, yeah, I know you know that. Again, I'm just stressing here. Who is Swerve's first feud after he wins the belt? Easy answer is Billy, but I don't think they hot show him. No, I don't think so either. I think Vegas will be Mox, I think. I believe so. This rules. Sami Zayn is a great favorite wrestler to have as a child, no doubt. Great favorite wrestler to have as an adult, for that matter. This is true. Andrade and Dom is going to be good, definitely. I want to watch that and the Gable match, to be fair. Dustin and Steamboat versus Arn and Larry. Classic match. One of the great TV tags. Yeah, 7 out of 10s. There we go. Okay. Should Mercedes turn heel right after Willow wins at Dynasty? I'd probably have Mercedes cheat to win, I think. Because I don't think you want to beat Mercedes out of the gate. But I think having a cheat help, like, kind of fix, you know, works for both parties, so. That's what I would do. Let's see what they have for her tonight, man. Like, I think the last couple of weeks have been a little bit concerning. Concerning always sounds dramatic, but you know what I mean, right? It's kind of like, we're going to be doing this for another 6 weeks. I'm hoping this ain't good tonight. All jokes aside, is The Rock one of your faves of all time? He's not, no. I didn't watch enough of his prime to have that connection. He's also not generally my kind of wrestler, but I do find it be very compelling right now. He's actually, like, kind of terrifying right now. Like, The way he delivers lines, though, I honestly don't even think it's what he's going for most of the time. He legitimately comes across insane. That in-ring promo with Cody, he, honest to God, made Cody Rhodes feel like a normal human being. And, like, whether you like Cody or dislike Cody, the thing with Cody is he's, like, he's Cody. You know, he's unhinged. Everything he does is performative. He felt normal next to The Rock. So I'm definitely into what he's doing right now. I can't say he's an all-time fave because I just don't have that connection. But he's an all-timer for sure. It's a talent, no doubt. You think Cody will be the guy in WWE like Cena, Reigns, etc., or more of a stopgap top guy like Bret, Shawn, between Hogan and Austin, or Triple H between Austin and Cena? I think it's difficult because of his age, but I would say I think he's more in the mold of a Cena or a Reigns. Now, I say the mold because I don't know if anyone can replicate Cena's longevity as the top babyface. I mean, Cena legitimately had, God, what are you looking at there? 12 years, maybe 11 years. So yeah, I say, you know, I think he's in that archetype. I think he will be the top guy for quite some time, but I don't know if he's ever going to get to those, you know, the Cena's level necessarily, but I do think he'll be the guy. You should, in my opinion, circle Willow, Ospreay, Brian, Mox, Hangman, and Swerve as people who can connect on a deeper level to the audience in big-time programs and feuds. Sounds good to me, brother. Good evening, Expert Gaming. I'm glad you made it on time. Okay. Worst current professional wrestling finisher. Honestly, rather than, like, you know, punching down, I'll say someone who's a great wrestler and I think a lot of, bro, the Rose Plant fucking sucks, man. Bayley is awesome and, like, she's one of the smartest wrestlers out there. But, yeah, the Rose Plant is unfortunate. There's got to be something else we can do with Bayley. Like, just do the Bayley to Belly for all I care. Just, yeah, the Rose Plant's bad. This is true. You should read Chuck's Wrestle Truth speech. I have yet to see it because it's been a day, but my friend, the confirmed shoot, said it was tremendous. So I believe he called it Beast, in fact, which I believe, because it is Charlie of Great Britain. Dream match between a current Mexican Japanese talent. Rush and Ishii. That may have happened in like 2013 or something, but still, let me cook. Let me run wild here. Yeah, I don't think it's, yeah, I don't think anyone's tuning in like expecting CM Punk to be a famed shoot, right? Again, I don't know what it's gonna look like, so maybe it will be funny. I don't know. Do you think Mercedes is leading a faction by the end of Double or Nothing? Not by the end of Double or Nothing, but by like the Road to All In. Yeah, I do. Yes, indeed, Andrew's right. Everyone like the video, please. Oh. Okay. 1 second. Do you think Roman kick out the triple crossroads leading to a final shot between him and Cody could have enhanced the match? I feel like it could have done with an extra beat post-interference. I get what you mean, but I think it would undercut what they were trying to do with Seth Freakin'. Now, if you don't like the Seth freaking thing, then that won't mean anything to you. Fair, I'm not that far away from that. But I think for what they were trying to do with Seth, it had to be, you know, the next thing, the finish followed. Okay. I don't think I'm in trouble. All right. Joe, going to throw out there that Hangman costs Swerve the Dynasty main event and prolongs the Joe tight run a little bit longer for you. If this doesn't happen, I never said it. Honestly, man, I'm so blessed that this shit happened all. I'm just like, whatever. Like, I haven't even loved the creator for a lot of Joe's reign, and I'm still just like, eh, fuck it, he's the world champion for a little bit, you know? So I appreciate it nonetheless. I don't think you are correct, but I appreciate the sentiment. Maybe you'll be right, I don't know. Okay. I don't think you like the Brock match you guys all love. Who is that, Andrew? I know this made sense when you commented it, but Please do remind me who you're talking about, because now I'm intrigued. All is well, Alfie. I hope you're well, mate. Okay, folks, there it is. 5 Eastern for tomorrow's Fleet Week. 5 Eastern. For anyone unaware, Fleet Week is the Late Night Grins Young Lions show. The graduates from the LNG Dojo get together and talk AEW. I'll probably not be there tomorrow, but they'll be rocking and rolling nonetheless. So we shall see what they have up their sleeve. Okay. Now let me scroll back to where I was. What is your favorite? Not answering that. What is your favorite wrestling archetype? I found myself recently enjoying the chicken shit heel. Favorite wrestling archetype? That's an awesome question. I just like, you know, I don't even know if this is an archetype, because it's like nowadays, I don't even know. There are guys who fit it, but it might not be something that people consider an archetype as much as just the way people wrestle. But you know that timeless work rate pro wrestler, where it's not so much like the moves, even though the moves can be sick, but like the way they execute, you know? Guys who are so good that you watch them do simple shit like a headlock takeover, and it's like, man, that's sweet. Chad Gable has a little bit of that. Like, Chad Gable would do some some of his moves are awesome, but like even the simple stuff he does, it's that very particular cadence where it's like, it's smooth, and you can sit back and enjoy your evening just watching these guys, you know, run the ropes and shoulder tackles and headlock takeover and hip toss, drop down, you know the deal. But it's also got that little bit of little edge, and that little bit of little scrappiness that comes with it. I love that shit, man. I really do. I think it's like, so as I watch more and more wrestling, I'm increasingly in love with the guys who I feel like you could drop at any point in history. I think that's such a kind of powerful thing, right? Like everyone strives for innovation so much, and rightly so, but there is something to be said for mastering the timeless truths, the things that are forever in wrestling. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it's the shit that I'm watching daily at this point in my life. Bing bong. When are we getting the Roddy Sicko defenses and who? Well, I don't know if they're going to be defenses, but in the Eliminator matches, we maybe are making some progress at least. We've got Rocky Romero coming up. In terms of Sicko defenses, I don't know, man. I'm not sure we're going to get the fun we were looking for, which is a shame. I'm holding out hope, but I'm not super optimistic because, like, Roddy's been there for a year and, well, you know. However, let's enjoy the Rocky Romero match, and then we'll proceed from there. Ideally, we eventually get some, you know, international flavor for that belt, right? That makes sense. Orange had some of that. So hopefully that's coming soon. In terms of talent from New Japan, CMOL, wherever it may be. I'm aware that Rocky fits both those descriptions, but he's also Rocky and is around always everywhere. So you get my point. Top three AJ Styles matches. Suzuki, I mean, just an incredible pro wrestling match. G1 2014 with Suzuki. G1 2015 with Hiroshi Tanahashi, which I think is like genuinely one of the most beautiful wrestling matches ever. I wish I could do a video match review for that, but if I tried to, I would get sued by Bushiroad within seconds. I'm just an incredible match. So yeah, definitely those two. And then for young AJ, I would probably go back to that Joe match I was talking about earlier. Turning Point 05, I want to say. Maybe that one. The best WWE AJ match is either the Brock match or the Dragon match in the pandemic, or some of the Cena matches. Yeah, he's got some killers, but there's the first few to come to mind. Thoughts on AEW and WWE having bottom 10 worst matches ever on Mania Week, Pops. Real grats, brother, we're so back. Hello, Joe. Hello, John. Hope you are well. Now I've lost it again. This is the problem. This is the problem with this StreamYard. Okay, I will catch up. Hello, Joe. Long-time listener, several-time caller. God bless. Tell me, can you confirm the rumors that Cody Rhodes is the new big dog of the World Wrestling Federation? Thanks, I'll take my answer off the call. I'm not at all prepared to confirm that, no. There's a lot more to being the big dog than just being the world champion, dude. There's a lot goes into that kind of thing. So, yeah. Okay. What are the odds Dustin gets done today? I think very slim, just because we're so close to the pay-per-view. Okay, we have Kurt Angle lists here. Shawn at Mania 21, Benoit at Rumble 03, and Ray at SummerSlam 02. We have the No Mercy tag. Interesting, interesting. You have a blank check budget. Who is in the main event of the JHP debut show? Wait a second. Think about me. I'm dying of grabs. Should be the Dukes. Please get that prepared for when the day comes, when we do Rory's Holbert. Get that prepared. The main event of the JHP debut show would have to be. It's a great question, really. Got one of them ones. You really got. You don't want to rush in, do you? I mean, you got to really think about what you're doing. Okay, let me pull up the famed Joe Holbert Promotions annual that I never released. That is fucking insane. No, not that. Here it is. This is one of the things that I will one day get out, and I think people will find very funny. But it will be so outdated they'll have to edit it violently, which is a shame. I think we need the FTR in there. That's the problem we have. Because Joe, we need a tag, basically. Let's do who can Sam Joe team? Okay, fuck it. I know he broke his neck four times or whatever in last year in AEW, but just if I'm being honest about favorite wrestlers that could be in the main event, it has to be FTR versus Joe and Roddy, right? That has to be. That's the answer. Okay. My only LNG memory regarding Rumble 03 is on deciding the decade when Oracle said the fans giving one angle stand an ovation for plants and the match was freestyles at best. Yeah, that sounds like Oracle. I don't remember that at all, but it sounds like Oracle. Why is Joe Perry doing the most babyface move of all time when he's going to be a heel with the Young Bucks? I don't know, and that's part of the issue. I think they're going to work FTR into it based on what the tweets have been and Brian's tweet, and that sounds like a mistake because the AEW audience doesn't like Punk. So aren't you then flipping them? I don't know. Again, it's one of those, hopefully it's one of those things that makes sense when you see it. That's the main thing. I'll be completely honest in saying as we're about 80 minutes out from the show, my gut feeling is this is probably a mistake, if I'm being completely honest. But my gut feeling don't mean shit because my gut feeling hasn't seen the damn tape. So hopefully I'm completely wrong and it will be something that's hilarious or some way impactful. Again, I don't know what that looks like, but I haven't seen it. So we'll see. I know you loved it, but is Braun Strowman versus Gunther a JHP match? Absolutely, yeah. We're running that one around the loop, bro. 100%. In an MMA match, do you have better odds against Danielson or Ospreay? Dude, I have non-existent chance against either of them. I feel like Danielson would be nastier about it, so I guess that would be the worst fight to take. I don't think there's an active professional wrestler in the world that wouldn't beat the shit out of me, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, I'm just, really kind of trying to run my head through these names. I'm not going to name anyone anyway, but the way things are going for me, I would name someone and they'd immediately get added on it, and it would be very unfortunate. I'd get knocked out at Wembley Stadium. Anyway. Good evening, JJ. Hope you're well, mate. Great friend of the show. JJ Williams, one of the greats. Please do follow him on the Twitter gimmick for wonderful photographs of the professional wrestling. All right. With rumors of Trick, Melo, Ilya, and Bron getting called up, how would you book them out of the gate and who with? I must say, NXT sounds crazy if that's what's happening. I didn't realize that was all happening at once. Melo. Fuck, man. Okay, so Ilya, you put in that IC titles, the division, quote unquote, Sammy, Gable, Ricochet, you put him in there. That's fine. Braun, you either have him kill Logan to win the US belt or you do something with him and Paul Lee, which could be money. Melo, I don't know. Trick, I think you have to be very careful because I don't know what reason there is to rush him. Trying to think of who the heel would be that you'd pair him with. I don't get why you'd do that trick. I feel like he would benefit from being a top guy in NXT for a year. But I mean, he's super over and I'm happy for him, but I don't know. That one's concerns is too strong, but that one is one you got to be very delicate with. The other guys, I think Melo will be what Melo will be at this point. I think he's an underneath. He's an exciting upper mid card guy, and that's fine. To me, anyway, hopefully proves me wrong. Ilya, I think, will climb on work rate because he's a very particular type of worker, you know. Bron Breakker will be fine. Trick, I'd be careful. Who's greater all time, Cena or Rock? Oh, that's a good question. Very, very fun question. All right, so here is where the word great, I think, is worth just pondering it for a moment. Because I'm going to be completely honest, I think The Rock is a better talent than Cena. I think he's a more natural worker. I think he's a more compelling promo. I think he's more physically charismatic. In every box, I'm ticking Rock. However, you didn't ask who's better. You asked who's greater all time. And I think it'd be very difficult to take Dwayne in a lot of ways because The Rock's run is so much shorter. And not only is it so much shorter, if you just were even if you took, say, the five best years of their career so they could be even, I still think Cena's match catalog is way stronger. So it's a unique one in that way. I kind of think greater all time in the grand scheme of things may be John Cena. And I'm not particularly thrilled to say it because I'm definitely a bigger Rock fan. But yeah, I think Cena's career is so, there's so many great matches there and great chapters and great story. I think maybe Cena. It's an interesting question. That'd be a good actual podcast topic, you know. It's a fun one. I like it. I mean, obviously, they're both all-time great stars, but it's just wrestling careers. Yeah, it's interesting. Thoughts on Cross and IOP being sent to NXT? Probably for the best, for all involved. Do you want to keep Timo Werner, or should we look elsewhere for where? I think there's value to Timo. Now, obviously, his final product is often very unfortunate, but I do think he's a good footballer, and I think, you know, with us being in Europe and presuming, hoping we get in Champions League, I think he's valuable. What do you think, Shaitan Spurs? You probably watch the team a lot more than I do at this point. JHP forever. All right. I'm scrolling, folks. Bear with me. We still have time to bully them at the Joe Zack Sabre Jr. match. Factual. We'll get there. What do you think went wrong with Jericho? It can't just be the in-ring work. I do think there's there's a million and one factors here, right? Firstly, he's a guy who we all got used to coming and then going away for a little bit, and instead he's just lived in AEW full-time for pretty much the entirety of the last, almost 5 years. And that's a bigger factor than many of us even want to accept or realize. But I do think there's something to be said for I think he's just hit the wall physically. And whatever you think of Chris Jericho, the human being, which most of it is fair, I do think he was pretty remarkable personally in how he held up. Now, a lot of people disagree with that, and that's fine. I thought he was quite good as Ring of Honor champion. I thought he had genuinely strong matches. However, since then, it's become increasingly less frequent, and I think it's a case of an old guy just hitting the wall, and he's, 52, 53 years old. I also think the third factor I would present is that I think he's got in his own head because he's reacting to criticisms, you know? I think the online stuff about, he doesn't elevate guys has, actively warped. And now he's, wrestling arguments out in front of us, you know? He's, trying to prove points. And by doing so, he's only doing more damage. I think there's three big factors that come to mind immediately for me personally. What do Moxley and Eddie do at Wembley? Honestly, they should team up. Fuck it. Oh, Brian and Nigel, I should have said, for Wembley. Have them team up against Claudio and I guess you are. I don't know. Just do something to break up the BCC, please. That's my request. Okay. What's the wrestling storyline you thought up you think could be fire on TV? Doesn't matter with who. The old one, this is completely lost timeline now, but I'll say this because it popped me huge at the time. I'll go back to it. When Punk was wrestling for the belt at Double or Nothing, my pitch was that at Full Gear of that year, this would be 2022, again, lost time, not to say the least, 1 year removed from their match, Eddie Kingston would get his revenge and win the AEW World's title from CM Punk. And my specific storyline was that he would have to, in order to do this, you know, Eddie would be struggling, and this is after the Jericho. So I obviously, in this timeline, I would not do the shark fucking, you know, the barbed wire match, because God forbid, but comes out the Jericho feud. And if you remember it, Double or Nothing, obviously he was attached to Blackpool Combat Club, right? In the Anarchy in the Arena. And so my big thing was, imagine Eddie being stubborn, but eventually realizing he has to go to William Regal in the Blackpool Combat Club to get ready for this match. Because Regal's whole thing, if you remember where he talks about Dragon, is he kind of wasted a lot of his talent, right? Like, Brian's the perfect wrestler, he wasted it. And this is back when I was on Fightful. But was it? I don't know. I did say I'm Fightful about this, I forget. But either way, the idea of Eddie Kingston and William Regal and John Moxley doing these, like, you know, these training kind of Rocky vignettes, and you got Brian in there goading Eddie, and Regal's daring him to quit, and so on and so forth, and Punk's been a real prick about it the whole time. I thought this was like the most money thing when I put it out there in 2022. And of course, many things happened. Eddie Kingston and CM Punk will almost certainly never wrestle again. It's a one and done in history. But I just thought it was like, I could see it, you know, I could picture it in my head. I thought it was money, but you get what you get, I suppose, folks. It is what it is. It did pop me very much at the time. Regal getting mad at Eddie because he's smoking outside the BCC dojo, you know. Many things have changed since then, clearly. Jade's working house shows starting this week, and you're hoping to see her. That'd be cool, yeah. That'd be cool. I'm glad she's doing that. That's definitely very, very good for Jade's development. Turning point was the AJ Joe match. Yeah. Necro and Joe is an all-timer. Okay. Speaking of Rossi, I believe he said we'd find out something soon. Sometime soon, what he's meeting with Triple H was about. Do you think this will materialize into anything? Maybe EO competing for the Rossi Home title. I think there'll be a guest on the first show. Yeah, I think there will be. Maybe a couple of guests. I think that's what it'll be. I think there'll be partners, and I think WWE are going to try and pursue. Everyone watching this is entirely entitled to immediately take that as, oh my fucking God, that sounds bad. You're probably not wrong. History has told us you should be very suspicious and very wary about these things. But I don't know, right? Like, we'll see what it looks like. But I think there'll be partners, and partners, by that I mean they'll share talent occasionally, and, you know, Liv Morgan will work Corican Hall or something. Okay. How are they going to justify the rankings? Mercedes getting the title shot seems weird. I assume they'll just ignore them. That's one of the issues of the ratings, is I think they're kind of rankings, sorry. I think they're kind of an issue in terms of booking anyway, so I'd ignore them. I wouldn't have brought them back like that, man. So you get what you get. All right. I've decided pre-screen is going to be Jey Uso, Bad Bunny in Saudi, and then drop it to Drew in Glasgow. My God. Only heavy hitters, I must say. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I actually don't know a lot about what the AEW process is now. It's changed a lot creatively. There's been like different voices in it. I don't know what it is right now. I think whoever it is doing a better job than we saw at the end of last year. But yeah, always ways to go. I legitimately think Cody and AJ could have a great match in 2024. Agree completely. AJ looked really sharp at Mania. He's a smart enough wrestler. Again, inside the ropes, let me be clear. He can navigate these things. He's still very capable of having good wrestling matches. And against someone like Cody, who's that over, I agree it could be great, certainly. Hey, Joe, would you bench Solo and Jimmy and wait for Roman's return on TV to restart the Bloodline, or just draft Jimmy and Solo to different shows and drop the Bloodline entirely? I would... Solo, I would keep in the ball game, because I think there's some possibility you can do with Solo. I think Solo then basically demanding he steps his game up is one thing. But in addition, Solo, who never sells anything, he's always straight-faced, him selling Jacob Fatu could be great. You know, that being the one guy that Solo's like, holy fuck, I'm scared. I think that's good, and I think you could use them as a tag team on TV. Jimmy, I would have get wiped out, because I think the story to tell of Jimmy is him, you know, as a baby, not as a baby face yet, but him going to the show that Jay is on and trying to get them to reunite and convincing him slowly. Because once you do the Jay Priest match, like, Jay's wrestled for the IC belt, and this will be his second shot of the world title. Like, I know he's over huge, but let's just get the, you know, let's get the team back together at that point, you know, build to it. I'd have Jimmy kicked out of the group, and, you know, trying to reunite with Jay, who's very hesitant, and you could tell a whole story with that. So yeah, that would be my personal take on the matter. I think Solo, there's like him and Jacob as a tag team on TV, I think could be very valuable TV. You know, those two versus top baby faces, that's easy TV, right? Okay. We got some Dwayne talk in the chat. Rose Plant talk. I love Ruby, but all her finishes are awful. They are. It's a shame. I like Ruby a lot too. I feel like I never see her now, but I don't watch the Rampage. That's on me, I guess. I don't know. The Swerve Stomp. It's not so much the move, it's that he needs to find better ways to set guys up for it. You know? Guys have to sit there for ages sometimes, dude. It's brutal. Bailey Chow, Jacob Fatu versus babyface Roman Reigns moves me a lot. It's got some serious, we've never been so back potential. Yeah, that could be unbelievable. Again, I mean, I think the guy's the limit, but it's just a matter of how he translates. Hopefully it goes well. Fulton, Dustin, Costin, sorry, Swerve, I think it would mean, because someone mentioned that earlier. This is an interesting one. Times of placement. Joe gets cost tonight, and then they run it back at Battle of the Belts, him and Dustin. I would avoid it just because I think you want to protect Joe getting pinned for Swerve. But in an ideal world, man, like this Dustin part of the story is its own thing that isn't just like, you know, thrown out of nowhere on a collision. But again, that ain't the world we're living in, unfortunately. Top five Punk Jey Uso tags you want to see this summer and fall. Dom and Finn has got to be up there, right? Gallows and Anderson has got to be up there. Solo and Jacob, just because Punk working with Jacob, I think, could be a ride. I'm trying to think if there's any other kind of... Otis and Gable. Right, that's a must. Got to get that in there. I don't know if I like any of the actual tag teams at the minute that are pushed, so I don't know if I can mention any of those. I could beat DIY in a couple of minutes if you want. Oh, Punk hated the Brock SummerSlam. Okay, got you. The match is unbelievable. He's wrong. Okay. Yes, indeed. Fleet Week, folks. There it is. I see more Joe Dustin. I love it. I'm glad to see the folks side. Grin doing a Windy City Riot watch along review. Might be the best New Japan American show ever. Yeah, we're doing a watch along. The Late Night Grin this week, I believe it's 104, is live at 8 Eastern. We're going to be live for a watch along throughout that. So it'll be myself, Shu, Alex, Dukes, and Manny will be the five watching that. That'll be a really fun time, I think. So that'll be this Friday, 8 Eastern. Late Night Grin channel. I'm looking forward to it. Roosh versus Roddy. My God. That'd be incredible. Starting to think Punk has a good chance of winning the World Heavyweight title in summer. I tend to agree. I think it's bold, but I do think he's got a pretty good chance. I would agree with that. Do you have a most improved for 2024? And if you can do a sixth man, like someone who doesn't get a ton of time but excels what they get. Okay. It's a good question. I like these ones. Most improved. Right, I'll try and, because I watch it mostly, I think I'm probably best to veer AEW here. So we're looking for most improved, and we're looking for a sixth man, which is someone who doesn't get a lot of time, but is, but makes the most of it. Now, in prior times, AR Fox would be a great example of a sixth man, right? Whenever he wrestled on TV, it was worth watching, but he never actually was, you know, any kind of major player on the show. Well, he was for a week or so, actually. I should note, but you get my point. Most improved in AEW may be a challenge, right there. I don't think the Butcher qualifies, sadly. The Guns, I think, made a lot of their development last year, if I'm being completely... Though I do think they continue to get better. Most of the kind of main players are old heads, right? I would say Carl Fletcher, but the hair. Stumbling block. Definitely not Hook. Okay, I'll say someone that I think has got a lot better mechanically. And actually, I think people need to reassess like what he's good at. It's not a total new thing, but I think Darius Martin is like a completely different wrestler than people perceive him as, just because they know the Martin brothers as like the high flyer guys. It's honestly increasingly not the strong point of his game. Which we'll talk about, I'm sure, at some point. It'll be a match that I can review and talk about in a little bit more detail. Otherwise, I'm struggling to see improvement necessarily. Maybe Billy Starks, but again, more last year. Sixth man. Okay. You've always got to look at a Toa Leona, right? You've always got to look at a Rocky Romero. I mean, these are the names that immediately come to mind. I will say someone who had one of the funniest matches of AEW's year, and I think is one of the most reliable promos in wrestling, I would say Daddy Magic Matt Menard, who just gives you, he's like a sort of TJ McConnell, you know, just gives you energy. You can't argue. No, the actual output ain't much, but he gives you energy. All right. Yes, absolutely. Daniels versus the Astros would be sick. You think Sheamus still ends up in AEW? I have no clue, man. That stuff's way under wraps. I don't know. Okay. I can't get behind the angle because being this framing punk is a good way. Yeah, okay, I get you. I don't know either, man. I have no clue. Who's your Cody feud with first? Sheamus. I agree, man. Jack Perry and the Christian Cage group, I should say, would be my direction too. What you get, what you get. Some Rev Pro talk, which is very funny. Trying to arrange the LNG convention in St. Louis so Bob can make some cash at the merch table. Anybody joining us? There you go, folks. Contact JJ if you're interested in such a thing. Right, it seems like Trick is beating Ilya, so that's good. That would be the smart call. I don't see what reason there is to rush him up. That dude is so money, and you've got enough top guys. Like, wait until there is a clear vacancy you can shoot him straight into, you know? He's very special. Hanging with Hole, but Cena versus Rock, because it would be definitely first Dwayne. Thing is, I prefer Dwayne too. I'm trying to be objective. Again, wrestling objective, hilarious, but I'm trying to be. I think he had a better career because Dwayne moved on to better things, right? Like Cena did that stuff a lot later in his career. Hey Joe, have you read Death of the Churches? I've not. I should. I'm reading the Siskel and Ebert book that came out last year at the moment, and I feel like I'm way behind on that. I've got much worse when it comes to reading, sadly. I should read that though. I've been told I should many, many times. Co-sign on Werner from Chi-Town Spurs. God bless. Jericho. Dublin Steve and Claudio versus Mox and Eddie. Yeah, maybe if Dublin Steve becomes available, maybe so. That sounds fun, yes. Oracle's Rhea storyline is great. For anyone aware, that's the deal where Rhea dumps Dom and then Dom comes back with an NXT call up as his girlfriend. Kiana James or JC Jane or Andrew's picks. I'm going to ask Oracle about those next time he's on. What do you think is the one moment that was the huge detriment to WCW downfall? They made a ton of money in 98, but the biggest thing is if the Brett deal goes differently, I think it changes everything, because Brett as a top guy would have actually been able to work with Eddie and Jericho and all the underneath guys that didn't get like, that could never, because Hogan wasn't going to work with fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was never going to happen. I think Brett could have bridged the gap and given them a new main event scene. Unfortunately, for, you know, whether it was their fault or his, and there's a mix there, I think I lean more towards their creative fucking suck, which it did. Their main event scene just got older and older, and there was no sign of change in that regard. Now I think that killed them, because by the time WWF got hot, they had stars to take that place, you know? The reason in 1999, Bischoff did the, you know, Foley won the belt, that'll put some arse in seats, is Bischoff, for all the conversation about how much he focused on the competition, his biggest flaw was he actually didn't see that the wrestling world was changing. In his mind, Mick Foley is the world champion, paled in comparison to, you know, Hogan or whoever else is world champion. But it was 1999, and that was not the case anymore, you know? If Brett had been positioned to succeed and was, like, kind of unlocked as a work rate champion in a way where it was framed as, we've escaped the grip of the NWO, let's get back to wrestling, I think there's a world in which all of those guys that were underneath can then get brought up, you know? That was never going to happen with Hogan, Nash, and guys in the top, because they weren't going to have those matches with them. Paulson, the current Paul Ellering run. Very funny. I'm happy for him. Very happy for him. Is Triple H's real biggest achievement so far managing to not book Natalya at Mania? She had a streak of like 8 Manias in a row. None of them were in Paul, and she said she had Mania gear made. That is hilarious, yes. Bravo. How many stars do you think Cody and Rock would do? 3.5. Dwayne is, look, man, Dwayne's old, right? Here's what it is. Here's what it is. God bless him. 10 years ago, he was struggling to have a real world title match. Like, here's what it is. But I'll still be there for the build. You get what you get, I suppose. Some rankings chat in the chat. Hill Mercedes with Megan Bain as a heater is what I would book tomorrow. That'd be pretty sick. You get Megan Bain in the game for sure. I've seen enough to know she's money, but I've heard even better than that, right? Where's your ideal ceiling for Jacob Fatu, assuming he's on the main roster? Tippy top guy, man. I think, again, you need to see, in fear of sounding like an old head or like Bruce Pritchard or some shit, with guys, you always need to see how they physically translate, because some guys on that stage feel like totally at home and feel like they could be top guys tomorrow, and other guys, it does not translate. He ain't very tall, and he's lost a lot of weight, which good for him. It's good for his knees. But he physically may not be as imposing as I'm imagining in my head because I see him in MLW or whatever, you know? Luckily, that ain't his whole game, but, you know, far from it. He's truly dynamite. He's explosive in there. He could do 101 different things. But that will shape his ceiling. Right or wrong, it just will. Because he's... appeal, as much as it's great that he does all the moves, his appeal is he's fucking menacing, you know? So I want to see it, but I mean, talent-wise, dude, he's spectacular. There's nothing he can't do. And he can talk too, by the way. Like, he's not someone who needs to be a mute by any means. He can talk. He has real physical presence. So Jacob's a very talented dude. It's just a matter of how it kind of translates. Okay. Solo was genuinely good in NXT, and I think Bloodline has hurt his character and the way fans perceive him moving forward. It's one of those kind of... It's difficult because it's been great for him in that he's been slotted into a real role on the show and has been able to work with top guys for the last 18 months. But long term, to your point, I do think it could be detrimental because he has been produced in such a way where he feels like he's lost, you know, any kind of ability to grow as a young wrestler. He's been limited to these are the three things you do. And that's great for this role, but is that great for where he's at in 3 years? I don't know. I think it's a fair concern. I think there's truth to what you said about the NXT kind of differences. Not to say he was a super worker, but I do think he showed capabilities of being more than just what he's been on the main roster. But that's what they needed for this particular spot, right? So complicated thing. We'll see what comes of him when the bloodline is done and so on and so forth. But yeah, interesting one. Good God, Solo and Jacob versus the Creeds is crazy. That would be wild. I think Jacob and Kevin Owens are going to have a fucking barn burner. Barn burner. All right. Solo either sticking with Roman or turning with the rest could be interesting. Yeah, I think his thing has to be, I think he's loyal to the, to whatever the decision is in terms of like the family. I think that has to be his shtick, right? Because the whole thing with him was he was sent by the elders, which is one of the most awesome things ever, by the way. Sent by the elders to protect the belt. Will never not pop me. One second, folks. All right. Do you think they'll break up the BCC before Bryan retires? Do you think we get all these dream matches until then? We'll get dream matches, sorry, until then. We'll love another cocky solo heel run we got during the Hangman feud. I think he stays babyface and does mostly dream matches. And I think the BCC lives on as kind of like a loose thing they use, you know, its usage I think will go up and down a lot because, you know, like some feuds don't call for it. I think they'll just kind of be allies for the rest of their careers, which is fine. Ain't my favorite by any means, but it's fine. Punk and Jay versus Cohen Randy is crazy. Do you have any Jacob Fatu references? Him and the Parker, or LA Park, where the fuck you look at, wherever we were at that point in his career, have an MLW match that is insane. Absolute bloodbath. It's probably in 20, before the pandemic, 2019. That match is a complete hidden gem. It's a wild match. Him and Hammerstone had this like epic shootout last year, I want to say. Their first match is good. The second match is great. I want to say it was last year. I remember reviewing it, so I think it was last year. Him and Bandido had a good one. I want to say I like one of his matches with Speedball. I don't know if he had more than one, so if there's one, I like that match, I want to say. Him and Vikingo had a match that like, wasn't really necessarily great, but it was just hilarious because he did a high spot shootout with Vikingo. Yeah, there's some options for you. Do you remember the first wrestling match you've watched? I absolutely do not, brother. I wish I did. It's a great question. Holbert, my number one fantasy match for Dynasty is Miro versus Takeshi in a bloodbath in the middle of the card. Am I going crazy? I think doing a monster pass in the torch would be really dope. I mean, I think the match would be awesome. I just don't. I don't know what the deal is with Miro, unfortunately, man. I co-sign. I would like to see the wrestling match. I just have no idea, no clue what it looks like with Miro, unfortunately. Okay. I like Sky Blue, I think, has actually been like steadily getting better. I think Anna Jay is a good call for most improved because I do think she has shown genuine improvement this year. And I don't think a lot of it is actually a skill improvement as much as it is a confidence thing. I think just taking her out of the game for a second, letting her do some Ring of Honor helps. Because if you remember, it's easy to forget this. When Anna Jay first broke on the scene, the take on Anna Jay was that she was like a prodigy. Now, that was dramatic. It was the pandemic. You know, leave us to it. But what I mean is people were amazed at how much of a natural she was. She'd hardly had any matches. And she was like very comfortable on TV. And then she completely plateaued. I think a lot of it, to me anyway, to my eye, was confident. That could be completely wrong. I don't know Anna Jay, clearly. But, yeah, that was my personal read on it. So, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Darius and Donna are very different wrestlers at this point. Very different. I like Isaiah Cassidy as a call. Isaiah's got a lot better, especially in terms of just mechanically. He's so much smoother now. So much. Yeah, I'm with you. I want to see more media. Yeah, and it's been away for a while, man. It's a bummer. Like, I always hate when wrestlers have runs in WWE where it feels like if it ended tomorrow, it would feel like it didn't happen. And that isn't totally fair. I know she was in War Games and, like, she's done stuff. But I always just want wrestlers to have a chance to, like, to make something of it, you know? You always want wrestlers that, even if it's not a long run, they leave with, like, a, you know, like a little corner of history taken out. Even if it's a small one, that's fine. And again, I guess War Games is that. But it feels like Mia's never really had a true presence on the TV show. She had a match with EO that was good. A little shaky early, but was good. So I just like Mia to be like a featured player. When I look at some of the talent on Raw, I think she can easily be on that show consistently. So hopefully the draft is beneficial for her. What do you think Ilya and Roxanne's ceilings are on the main roster? Roxanne's ceiling is super high because she's so young. Like, she's going for it as a heel. I tweeted about how, like, I was kind of encouraged by the fact she was clearly swinging big. And some people hit me up and said that, like, they're not into it because of that. You know, like, it's too obvious that she's trying to be a heel, which I get. But she's so young, I don't think you can put a ceiling on her. Like, I think she should be a major player for them for a very, very long time. So, Roxanne, I have no concerns about. Ilya, I think, is perennial, you know, intercontinental champion who could absolutely catch fire enough to live in the main event for quite some time. He's one of those guys that I think the audience could get with and kind of will towards a main event spot. We'll see how that looks. I don't know, you know, like, I don't know how quite they're going to frame him as a character. He's a kind of unique cat in terms of the way he presents himself. But yeah, I think Ilya's going to be someone that, on just sheer kind of effort and grit, will win the people over and become a bit of a favorite. So yeah, I think they're both going to do really well, to be honest. Especially, it's different now with the new regime. Like, think what you will of it, but it isn't the same as it used to be. Like, before, it was a total coin flip. Like, you could end up being fucking Max Dupree, you know? Okay. How would you split the rosters with the draft coming up? Curious if Netflix is going to want Cody or Punk or Rhea. That'll be interesting, the Netflix part of it. So that takes place in January, right? So that'll be an interesting thing to look at. I don't know, really. I think the main thing I always go to is the extra hour, I think, is a huge difference. And I think personality SmackDown, wrestlers Raw. You know, I think, to me, Punk would be better on SmackDown because I think in a two-hour show, you can make his segments a bigger part. That doesn't mean he's never going to wrestle. Of course he's going to wrestle, but I think it makes more sense to just generally lean that way. Now, obviously, there needs to be outliers. There needs to be big personalities on Raw. There needs to be work rate guys on SmackDown. That's the general way my brain works. And I think you see it represented in terms of, like, to me, Kevin Owens had much less memorable matches since he went to SmackDown because that's not really what they do on that show. Whereas on Raw, you know, you could occasionally see Kevin Owens get 20 minutes to have a wrestling match. To me, that's the general outline. And so you kind of split accordingly, again, including an outlier in either direction. But that's my kind of rough guide, I guess. I think, like, Randy's perfect for SmackDown now, right? Six-minute matches and cool entrances. God bless. Okay, we have some WCW Bischoff talk. God bless. We've got some post-judgment day. I'd like to have a heater enforcer. I don't know who this is about. My bad. I'm like 9 minutes behind, which for me is very good, so I apologize. Paul White's Austin show is great. He says, if you got over to any level, NWO said, come join us, if we're taking their place. Real graps, unfortunately. Where would you rank Cody Rhodes all time? I think it's too early to put him in those conversations just because, like, there's so many all-time great wrestlers. But he is in a very short list when it comes to specifically what he did on Sunday and being, you know, the man in those kind of moments. There's only a few guys that have been in that kind of spot. So it's a difficult one at this point. He's had a very unique career. a very influential, very significant career, no doubt. But it does feel like as a top guy, he's really just getting started, right? We're a couple years deep. So I think I wouldn't want to rush and put a number on some of that. I also think all time is so hard because, like, how many of us have really seen enough to say that with confidence, right? To answer that with confidence. It's difficult. One of those ones to look back at in 2 or 3 years, I think, at the least. I saw this, yeah. Kevin Owens said, if I make it to another Mania. He's real beat up, man. It's, you know, you have to appreciate these fellas while they're around. He's like always wrestling hurt at this point. But he's making great money, so hopefully he can keep it going for us as long as his body can hang in there, right? Who is a wrestler you used to dislike, but as you watch more wrestling, you realize they were beast? Honestly, I think some of the folks who've been with me for a long time maybe answered that better. It's always a difficult one to answer. Like, it's a great question, but I always find it hard to answer this because I don't generally dislike professional wrestlers, believe it or not. And if I do, it's because I've seen enough that I've realized they're not for me, you know? So it's very, very rarely, if I feel strongly enough to say I dislike this professional wrestler, will I then change my mind? So a cop-out answer. I accept that. I apologize, but I can't. Top of my head, I can't think of someone. I'm sorry. Hopefully someone in the chat has someone that's been watching me for years and is like, this piece of shit changed his mind about insert name, you know? So we'll see. Have you changed? Has your LNG Young Lions ranking changed? I think Tope Suicida may be editing his way to the top, if I'm being honest. Unfortunately, the golden child of the group, the ace, I think he's now third because he's got better things to do, right? Chris is he's actually gone beyond the game. He's like Dwayne. I can't rank him anywhere other than third because he's too busy doing bigger and better things. Respect it. Dukes is the most present on the shows. Tope is a very good editor. Let's see how Dukes does on Friday's Grin Along, folks. That's the key. Listen to Michael Cole commentate a Dragon of Nakajima match would be surreal. Jesus wept. McAfee would be more my concern, but yeah, you ain't wrong. I feel bad for a lot of the AEW roster that does not get used. I assume a lot of them would have got promised a lot by Tony Khan, but due to him always signing more people, they get lost in the shuffle. Yeah, I think the lack of brand split makes it a more challenging thing, right? To kind of, because like guys will always get lost, and it is what it is, right? It's part of the game. But I think the lack of brand split makes it like exacerbates it. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying a brand split is the answer. I'm just saying it's part of the package. So yeah, it's a challenging thing. Their roster's way too big, right? I mean, it just is what it is at this point. I don't think there's any way you can argue otherwise. Dom for the heater comment. Okay, thank you. I thought that was what you were talking about, but I didn't want to put words in your mouth. I did realize Braun Strowman was good at some point. That's a good call. We're going to get you a turnaround on Bronson Reed one day. No, you're fucking not. No, you are not. Listen, we are an hour and 14 deep, so I'll just say it. He seems like a lovely guy. I think he is terribly unfortunate. I'm really sorry to say it. I think he is very bad. Very, very bad. And I would like to like him. You know, he's a big Bam Bam fan. I know what he's going for. I respect it. I appreciate it. I think he's really bad. He actually bums me out how bad I think he is. I would much prefer to see him and say he's all right. But I can't say I don't think he's all right. I think he's bad. I think he's really bad. You get what you get, I suppose. I wish him well. Bronson Reed, if you're watching, drown out the haters, bro. Keep it going. Keep super kicking. All right. That you were not Dukes has never been third. No, Tope Suicida was comfortably third for a long time. I think he started developing this editing bag. And I was like, good. This fella has some real value on the trade market, you know? Cat seems to have found that to be very funny. Any wrestlers you're a fan of but gradually lost interest? I was a huge Cora Jade fan, but lack of improvement killed my interest. Roxanne is trending that way. Wrestlers I was a fan of but I lost interest. Shinsuke Nakamura is like an all-time. I love that dude dearly, but I don't give a fuck about Shinsuke anymore, which is crazy coming from me because I still care about Cole Anderson, but I honestly can't deal with watching Shinsuke at this point. But it's sad. I wish I cared, and I wish I could, like, oh, they should do something with Shin, but I don't really want to see him wrestle anymore. It's a shame. Or at least I don't want to see him wrestle more in WWE because it feels like it is what it is now. When he went back to do the spot with Noah and Keiji Muto, I was all in on that. I watched it immediately. But yeah, Shin's one. Generally, though, I'm very loyal. Again, Cole Anderson, right? Is what it is. Chat is... this is true. The thing is, he's absolutely factual that he seems like a nice guy. He's setting someone up, but he actually does seem like a nice guy, which makes it worse. It's the same with Adam Cole, Bay Bay. It's like, they actually do seem like nice guys. It's a real shame. And then meanwhile, some real assholes will be really great wrestlers. And, you know, you have to do what you got to do with that. It is what it is. Because, oh, but could you suggest me a random good match? A random good match. Dustin Rhodes, because it's topical, especially with who he's wrestling tonight. Dustin Rhodes versus Vader, Clash of the Champions. I want to say November 94. Is there any Clash match? Clash of the Champions, 94. Vader, Dustin Rhodes. I think it will be a topical one with what's on tonight. I hope you enjoy. The Acclaimed, I flip-flopped on them four times, Chuck said. Yeah, I used to be very much against the Acclaimed. I had to concede defeat when they got over. And now I just sit quietly and watch as it, maybe the tide has turned. We'll see. What rating did you give Big Rome versus the American Roller Coaster? I think I gave it 4.25. But I'm very, like, Chuck can say, she's in the chat with me. Like, when we do those WrestleMania match ratings, I'm generally on the lower side of things. If you're wondering why I didn't get a 5, I thought the wrestling match, while I enjoyed it, I thought was affected by the fact that you couldn't buy any of the finishes until you knew there was going to be run-ins, right? You knew the Bloodline Rules thing was going to be a factor. So I thought it was great. 4.25 for me is a very high rating. It's the same rating I gave Sammy and Gunther. So very, very high grade, but I gave it 4.25. That's a lot of star rants to all, but you asked. I'm sorry. Tope is very good at it, I must say. Very, very good. Yeah, I think Ibu's mentioned this, right? Wanting to like Karrion Kross and the agony that causes. You get what you get. Adam Cole, DIY turnaround. You know what? I have some fun with DIY, but I think they're a good wrestling tag team. Most of the time, I'm just being a dick to you, but I actually think they're a good team. I don't think they're very interesting at this point in their lives, but I do think they're a good professional wrestling team. And I'm glad they've got a role. Like, I think that's the right spot for them. I actually much prefer Ciampa. Like, I think at this point, Ciampa could do more. But considering they're like, you know, Ciampa's miles on the clock physically, I think them being a tag team in the main roster is cool. So, good for them. Does Crosby still believe in Cross? Absolutely not. He thinks, he pretends, but he knows he sucks. What do you think happens with the IC title match Monday? I think Sammy beats Gable and then Gable turns heel. But you could equally do Gable cheats to beat Sammy. They're in Toronto, right? So I want to say they're in Toronto. It's going to get heat either way. Is it crazy? I don't really want to see Swerve win anymore. It's not crazy. It's a wrestling finish, man. I mean, nothing's crazy, really. I definitely think there's been like an interesting shift with the discourse about Swerve in terms of some folks not being as confident. I personally am still pretty bullish on him winning the belt, but I get it. It's not crazy. Always wrestling. Joe, have you ever seen the Cena Punk match from Night of Champions 2012? I haven't watched it since I was 10, but swear that was best WWE match that year. I haven't seen it. No, I should review it. There you go. Chuck gave it 3.5. My God. Earns an extra quarter star for Rome stealing the crossroads and saying the move was dog shit. He's so awesome, man. That's one I never wavered when he was having not so great matches in the blood. Like, you'll never convince me otherwise. I think Roman Reigns is great. I'll never sway on it. I know that, like, he's had a lot of bad matches for someone who may be great. And a lot of it, I think creative has been had a very strange relationship with Roman Reigns throughout his career. But I think if you just watch his work, I do think he's great. So, yes. Yeah, man, DIY. Look, DIY had some of my favorite matches back in the olden days. I was there in New Orleans for their match. I was there for the revival. Not there, but I was, you know, in love with the revival matches. But I was physically there for the New Orleans match. But, yeah. The only reason I don't... Yeah, I tend to agree. Sammy winning the belt and then losing after 8 days probably is a mistake. I think you have Gable lose and then get mad afterwards. Where's your absolute hottest take you'll get killed for? I read that wrong, but it made the same point. Mine is Cody is a better wrestler than Will Ospreay. Beast. Hottest take you'll get killed for? Problem with this is while it's a good question, if I say a hot take, I will actually get killed for it. It's really not an ideal situation for me because I will get killed for it. You see, this is the problem we're running into. Hot take. I'm not a big hot take guy. So there's nothing jumping off the page to me. Let me have a look at some rosters and see if I can cook up something nasty before we get out of here. Professional wrestling. Here we go. What's a horrible opinion I can throw out there? Actually, these guys are good wrestlers, you know? Oh, I'll tell you what. I've got no problem saying this. I've said it before. I think Kazuchika Okada is quite boring. I do. I'm sorry. Does that work? Is that okay, bro? How's that? I think he's quite boring. He didn't used to be. I used to enjoy him a lot. I think he's quite boring. I'm sorry, everyone. I think he's been boring for about 3 years now. I pretended that I thought it would change in AEW, and then he had a match with Eddie Kingston that was not very good. I think he's boring. Oh, there you go. That's the end of my night, folks. I'll be logging off as soon as I'm done here. Yeah. I'm sorry, folks. It is what it is. All right. Let's... Okay. The chat is throwing their own opinions forward, which I respect. I've not made another mod yet. I just do the subscriber thing so that, like, if someone's going to comment and troll, at least I have to subscribe for a minute because I think that's funny. I can block folks in here, Topa. You're good, mate. Don't worry about it. There's no other mods, but they don't need to be really. It's fine. I think the Young Bucks are great, man. I think the Young Bucks very well could be the greatest tag team of all time. I think they're awesome. I really do. I've been a fan for a long time, too. I've said it before, but I was... This is deep in their career, I'm wrong, but it's one of my vivid memories. Them and the Briscoes live in 2016 is like one of the coolest things I ever got to see, you know? So, yeah, and the Bucks are great. Was that Raw after Rumble this year? And DIY versus Judgment Day was an awesome match. That was very, yeah, I remember that. That was very good. Very, very good. Was that the one with Dom? Tell me if I'm right. Wasn't Dom in that match, or am I imagining it? Was it for the tag titles? No, never mind. That was the tag title match. The Dom match that I liked was with maybe Mustache Mountain. Or not Mustache Mountain. Whatever the fuck they call it. New Catch Republic. British Strong Style. Whatever it may be. Yeah. Why is StreamYard's very mad about this Okada take? Very fired up. Okay. Who's in the match in the JHP? Oh, that's the toe plate. I was very confused. Had Cody won clean at WrestleMania 39, what star rating would you have gave it? Full fire, bro. That match was fucking incredible. I don't give a shit. That match was unbelievable. That thing's a masterpiece. You know, you get a finish right on that. That's like probably the best WrestleMania main event to me. That match is amazing. Yeah, I'm that high on it. I thought it was like an experience. It was wild. Any Rhea matches interest you for the rest of her run? Individual names, I may not be. I mean, I want to see a wrestle Charlotte again. Bianca's the obvious one. Jade Cargill is another obvious one. I'm trying to look for any like hidden gems. Her and EO, especially if Rhea's a babyface. They had a match in 2020, maybe 2021 NXT that was fucking awesome. Rhea got an ear all busted up. That'd be cool. I'm now seeing the responses to the Okada thing. I've watched him for years. He was whatever to me, but this last few months, I love him, and I'm going back and loving his old stuff. I'm the opposite of you. I'm always willing to change my opinion. Come on, this doesn't work in podcasting, brother. You gotta lock in. No, I'm honestly, I don't disagree. I guess the way I should say it is I wouldn't have a strong opinion unless I felt like I'd seen enough, you know? But yes, I'm a big random guy, obviously, as we know. Okada. As he has invaded the chat. Yeah. Speaking of Okada, thoughts on the Continental Classic belt being defended? Continental Classic being defended as a normal belt. I don't really know what reason there is for that belt to exist. To be honest, I think it's kind of bad, but I mean, at this point, I've conceded on the belts thing. You know, it is what it is. It's real interesting that WrestleMania was on Netflix here in New Zealand. We'll be interested to see if they do any other pay-per-views on there for the rest of the year. That is interesting, actually, yes. That whole deal is going to be, like, really weird to adjust to, I think, for myself. So, Dom and JD versus British Strong Style. There we go. KO and Sammy versus Priest and Dom. KO and Sammy were so good last year. I hate how little credit they were given in the year-end stuff. Well, yeah, I mean, I had to do my FTR shtick, but yeah. I mean, I think they're good wrestlers and we're a good tag team, personally, I've got to be honest. Rhea versus Rox is an underdog babyface. That'd be sweet, no doubt. Bianca and Rhea has to main event Mania. 100%. I love it. Everybody's been talking about streak versus title, right? That kind of deal. That's sweet. I'm into it, definitely. Everyone's just throwing their hot takes in the chat now, which is popping me. Mid-carder. I didn't say that. I said it's boring. Different things, but fair. I respect it. I respect the excitement, nonetheless. Dom and JD wrestled DIY the week before. Okay, that was the one that I loved. The title match is very good also, though, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, that match is very good. Rhea versus Julia. That could be wild, yeah. That could be very, very physical. What's the most perverted match you could realistically put on the France show? See, WWE is a little bit different in that there's less like, they're not going to bring Timothy Thatcher in for a one-off. Timothy Thatcher is the go-to answer for anything that's perverse scraps. Gotta be some Andrade shit, right? Like, gotta give me some Andrade. See, all these wrestlers are like, they're all totally, like, palatable, you know? Andrade's, he's too handsome to be in truly gross professional wrestling. You need some gnarly fuckers to do that. I don't know. Gallows versus Omos or something? I haven't got a good answer, brother. I'm sorry. They're all too presentable. Now, see, again, with an AEW show, you know, you could do, like, you could have Dax wrestle Tim Thatcher and, like, just kill your TV rating for the sake of professional wrestling. It's different products, brother, you know? Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Appreciate it, Paul. Two random wrestlers from WWE, AEW, you'd put in a tag. Okay, I assume you mean... Do you mean cross-promotion? Because I can do either or. It's actually a refund one if you do. Cross promotion. Okay. I assume so. I just did. I wanted to make sure. That's a very, very fun question. That's very, very fun. I'm trying to think of who's like a. I'd like to do people that are actual great tag team wrestlers, or at least a natural tag team wrestlers, you know, and not obvious things like Andrade and Rush, which, I mean, of course. Give me Chad Gable, who is an incredible tag team wrestler. And let's put him with the Messiah of the Backbreaker, Roderick Strong. Can you imagine those two dudes as a babyface or heel team? Roddy and Chad, two of the best tag team wrestlers the last 20 years. That'd be sick. That one's a fun one. I'm trying to look elsewhere here. Here's a babyface legend team here. This would be a nice way for these guys to close out their career as an all-star team. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe working as a babyface legend team would be pretty sick. That'd be pretty neat. There's a couple for you. Good question, man. Really fun question. Rhea and Chris is awesome. Timmy Thatcher is my favorite British man. Me too. Orton and Okada, Gunther and Moxley. KO and Eddie's a great one. There you go. There's some fun ones there for the very, very cool question. Dominic and Christian Cage. That fucking rules. All right. Factual. This might be the sentiment I leave here on the screen. All right, folks. It's almost Dynamite time. Please enjoy the show. We're just over 20 minutes away. Before I get out here, I want to do some plugs. Last night, match review. It was myself and Tope Suicida's second collaboration. Kurt Angle, Mr. Anderson, Lockdown 2010. You can watch that just right after this and still get it done before Dynamite. Only 8 minutes of your time. And I think it came out really nicely. Tell us what you think of it in the comments for that video. I may not be on the Dynamite review tomorrow. I'm 50-50 for that. I will not be on the Dynamite review next week because I'm in Cardiff for the World Wrestling Federation. So I'm going to try to make it tomorrow for that reason. Friday, 8 Eastern, New Japan, Windy City Riot, Grin Along, myself, Alex, Matt, Manny, and Dukes. Hell of a starting five there. Very, very excited for that coming up this Friday. And I think that's about everything, I think. Grin Grappler, Terry Gordy at the end of the month, of course. But, yeah, and the thing I'll say before we get out of here, who's the tag team of the year so far, Joe? I have no idea. What if FTR have had the House of Black stuff and the BCC stuff? The Bucks have got the Sting and Darby match, which is a lot in itself. Outside of that, not as much, but they've got that match, which is the big one. In WWE, I don't know. Interesting one. Hopefully it's clearer by December, right? Yeah. Please do like this video. What did Jacob Fatu matches versus AJ, Big Gunt, and Dragunov look like? Probably looked fucking awesome, man, to be honest with you. I mean, the Gunter match is more challenging because it's a heel-heel dynamic. But the other two are just violent, you know, like him beating the hell out of a little guy and them having to fire back. Bron and Corbin are the Astronauts. Hilarious sentence. They're the candidates right now. Unfortunately, Bron and Corbin are not going to be able to keep that award, I assume, but we'll see. Okay. Please do like the video, subscribe, and if you want to really help me out, I'm told it helps if you comment below. So you could comment anything. You could say, like, you know, Tottenham suck. You could comment Timothy Thatcher forever. You could comment, yeah, right, Okada is boring. Roderick Strong, full stop, Samoa Joe, full stop, any of these things, you know, the FTR, whatever you feel is right, you can comment it below, and apparently it helps me out. So please do that. Have you ever watched Nick Nemeth versus Dusty Rhodes from Raw in 05? I have, yes. It's quite funny. God bless the Spirit Squad. Or not really, I don't know. So do all that stuff, like, subscribe, comment. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow, but if not Friday. Please support Fleet Week tomorrow on the Late Night Grin, Dukes, Chris and Tope, the LNG Dojo graduates, talking All Elite Wrestling as always. Here is today's thumbnail, accompanied by Charlie's very, very accurate comment. And yeah, do all those things I said. Watch the match review too before Dynamite. Have a great night. Enjoy the show. Enjoy Dustin Rhodes versus Samoa Joe. God bless. All hail. We don't have an outro. We do have my closing line, which I always forget, which is, of course, thanks for the house. Speak soon, folks.